Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
All right, everyone. This is Memphis Mark coming to you from Mullet Manor, and we're going to do the review for NXT on 319. And of course, they're getting ready for Stand and Deliver in 2 weeks. So I think even McAfee was talking about how many days. I think it should be about 16 days or so. Either way it goes, they do not come out with their regular format again, and they start off actually with a match, which I like a lot better, unless something was really big the prior week. And so they come out with, the whole storyline with Roxanne injuring Lyra Valkyra, the champ. And so her bud, her pal, her partner in crime, Tatum Paxley, is coming out to have a match with her. And, you've got Roxanne with the fresh heel turn, trying to... I don't know why they haven't changed her look up a little bit. If they're going to let her go heel, then why not change the look up a little bit? But, no. And they come out and they have a match. And if you were going back and looking at some old tape, this would have been a Four Horsemen kind of Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard kind of match where they pick a body part and they dissect it and they go after it. And that's kind of what we had here. They went after one body part. Well, Roxanne went after one body part. She picked out the arm, and that was the bulk of the match. And, not too bad of a match. I mean, Tatum had her pops in there and had a chance, but it was pretty much Roxanne's match. And, she did all of her little stuff, and she didn't pin in the end. She went for a crossface for the win when she could have picked or could have pinned. But, Tatum, a little slow on some of her moves, but she is selling, and she's getting better, but she does tap out. And then, of course, afterwards, you got, got Roxanne getting on the mic and hollering for the belt for Ava, the great GM, Ava, you've got Roxanne calling for her, and instead of her, it ends up being Lyra that runs out and jumps on or attempts to, and of course Tatum in her attempt to help gets in the way and causes Roxanne to be able to get a good shot on Tatum and then tear the sling off of Miss Roxanne and throw a little something on her, kind of getting her ready for her match. So, but a little later on, we're going to have this match come up for Stand and Deliver. So, then after that, you got a little, a little spot with Metaphor. And they got Lash going, ooh, man, she's not sure if, she can handle a little bit more trick. And of course everybody gets on her about that, but good little promo, you got Alpha Academy that shows up, and they're calling out for the belts, for the tag team belts. So we'll see where that goes. And then Ava's got her matches going there, and then next thing you know, Briggs comes out. They're talking about the matches, and Briggs comes out and kind of gets in there and He gonna tug on Superman's cape and he's gonna spit in the wind and call out Oba Finney, the champ, the North American champ. And brings the big man out now. And the big man's got to walk. He's got to talk. I mean, he's not bad on the stick, you know. Although Briggs definitely has gotten better and better and better with the stick. So he is definitely come on. And I see why they're trying to, or not trying to, why they are going. They separated the guys and let each one go their own way. But Briggs, you know, with his biker kind of look, he calls out Oba, and then doesn't take long. And Oba shows up, and he comes on out there, and he ain't scared. He comes out there and confronts him, and he wants a match. So he's going to get a match. But then the crowd meteorically goes crazy for Dijak. And Dijak comes out there and puts his spin. So it's probably going to end up being a three-way or, however it's going to do it, Briggs and Dijak. But probably a three-way match. But Dijak comes in and he does this little deal where he pulls the sunglasses down real low and pulls them off. Like that's supposed to really scare. Although he is actually the tallest person in the ring, Briggs is a lot bigger, and Oba is big or bigger than just a little shorter than Briggs. So Dijak's the cross-country runner in this deal with the two or D1 type bodies. They run their mouth a little bit. Each one's calling each one's out. You know the deal. But they go to swing. You know they're going to have to swing on each other. So when they do, Briggs kind of gets the worst of it. Dijak gets to do a flip and kind of recover. And Oba's left standing there looking like the bad to the bone young man he is. But during this, they do something I just didn't think. It's definitely not the PG-rated WWE anymore, because Briggs calls calls Dijak a shaft. Shut your mouth. Calls him a shaft. Shut your mouth. Wannabe, and Dijak makes the reference of, I'm white. They have some more words. You know, they're all going to go get out of the ring. And just before they start swinging, Briggs shoves Dijak into Oba. And, that's how. So they have the little Mexican standoff. The refs come out. Not too bad. Not too bad at all, actually. You know, Dijak, you know, kind of putting himself in there. But I think the two guys could have pulled it off just fine. But, yeah, I guess they needed a little bit more of an angle on that one. Before I forget, they do a little short spot with Sean Spears, the chairman. He's kind of doing this riddle me this, riddle me that Batman stuff that he does. But over to the side, Joe Gacy is under a table. I don't know why, but he is. So, hence what we'll probably see next. All right, and before they have their, I believe it's the second match of the night. It's going to be a tag team qualifying match, one of two tonight. They have Mello coming in with his security. And he's got the big popped-up collar. Cross between Michael Jackson and Elvis there, coming in trying to look all tough, but they don't need him walking that close to the pavement. I'm just never mind. But they go in to the next match which is Nathan Frazier and Axiom going against the No Quarter Catch Crew with the catch clause, meaning you never know which two guys or which guy you will meet. And in this particular one, it's Dempsey and Miles Bourne. And I always want to go Jason Bourne. They come out in this match, and I got to say, man, Axiom, everyone knows how fast and how good he is. And Dempsey's a little taller, but he's kind of thin, so it's not so out of the ordinary to see, you know, Axiom doing. But they go move for move. I mean, old school catch as catch can, you know, they're just, I mean, they're move for move, counter for counter. It's really good. Dempsey can go, and you know Axiom can, but every week we're learning more and more about Dempsey. Oh, Charlie's pretty good. So they go back and forth in this thing, and Nathan flies around, you know, like he does. And you would think that this would be a majority of Bourne and Dempsey, but the way these guys fly around like hornets, like bees, and they're just everywhere. And when you think you got rid of one of them, one's flying in from somewhere else. You know, it's a pretty good match, actually. It's a go back and watch, you know, match, I would say for sure. I thought that Bourne would really be the weakest link in here, but he has done so far his best Randy Orton imitation, because he seems like he's watching Randy Orton tape. He just has I don't know, it's just something about his style that reminds me of Randy Orton, a young Randy Orton. If you go back to Evolution, and well before Evolution is what he looks like, a rookie coming in with a full head of hair. In this match, though, he looks pretty good. I mean, kind of surprising. But, man, some of the kicks. Like, at one point in time, Dempsey grabs Axiom. No, he grabs Nathan. And then Axiom comes over the top while he's got him held by the ropes. Like, Dempsey's on the outside apron, on the outside of the ropes. And Nathan's on the inside. And Axiom jumps up and kicks Dempsey. And then turns around and flies out of the ring and almost messes up his distance. He almost flew actually into the announcer's desk. They missed it, but it was close enough that it'll probably be talked about. What timing, or move that back. But man, Dempsey in this match, he does like a windmill, suplex back, rear suplex, back suplex, whatever you want to say it. And there's some impressive moves in this match, I gotta say. But somebody's got to win, it comes out with a bunch of quick moves, and Axiom and Nathan Frazier are going to pull it off. Kind of a surprise win, if you ask me, you know, but it is what it is. So good match. Go back and watch, check it out. Let me see, we go from there to a little squabble. It's a little squabble between Mr. Stone and Von Wagner. It seems that Mr. Stone did not like the prior week being carried out of the ring when Vaughn came in and did the save. He did not like being carried out like a baby. Maybe the band's breaking up, I don't know. And then you got Alpha Academy there coming in. That's when they came in and did their little deal and challenge, want to find out where Eva, the greatest GM of all time, with all her experience and knowledge, NXT's in great shape. But they go to Brindley Reese and a Sol Ruka match after that. And Anofi and Blade are out with, Reese. And look, Sol has been away for a year. So I think she was back a little bit last week, and a little bit the prior week, I believe, just a kind of a spot in. But she's actually in the match, and she looks good. She looks good. She's in there with somebody that doesn't have the experience level. So there is going to be somewhat. And then she's probably going to be a little rusty. I know she's been training and everything, but in this match, you know, this is actually in front of people, so it's a little different. And they pull it off good. They pull it off good. This Brindley lady is going to be really good. I mean, they got her doing the Richard Simmons, Tybo, infomercial type person, spokesperson, you know. But they do a couple, and they do a bunch of flips and flops at front. I mean, it's impressive. It is impressive to see somebody be able to do that. But I don't need to see it each week. They've got to change this up a little bit. We can't be gymnasts that are now wrestlers. We need to be ex-gymnasts that are wrestlers, not, you know, gymnasts that are, anyway. The match, though, not so bad. You know, the Ruka's going to get the win in this. You know, it was a big finish. You know, then you've got, well, after the match. All right, so the match itself is okay. You know, and after the match, you know, Ruka's going to get the win, get the big win, get the W, go to the pay window. But out of nowhere, Blair Davenport jumps in and does her thing and pops her on her chicken wing, just knocks her, you know, knocks her down and lets her know, welcome back. Yeah, that's the way that one goes. They go from there to a little spot with Ariana Grace and Gigi Dolan. They're in the locker room, and they had the match last week, and Gigi did lose it. They both did the kahuna shots, but Gigi got busted. And so now, according to Ariana Grace, she is Miss NXT in training. She gave her the sash, so I'm sure we'll have some interesting video clips upcoming from that. NXT star in training. Alright, whoops, I'm sorry there. I'm sorry, I kicked a dog. Sorry, I didn't mean to kick the dog. Didn't see the dog. Alright, so from there, you've got a good little spot with Tony D and family, with his crew, with his, I'm not going to get in and try to do the Italian voices because I don't know enough words there, but they come in, and of course he introduces Luca, I guess you could say, Formula, that he's a sworn member of the family, and you know, Luca does okay on the mic. I guess he's just got to have more ring time, but this whole thing is about Dragunov, you know, and Dragunov shows up, and they have words. But Tony D lays the facts down. He just tells him how it's going to be. Dragunov says, no, no, no. And Tony D goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. That's pretty much the synopsis of that little deal. And then after that, we go to the soap opera that is now somewhat minus, you would think, J.C. Jane and Jasmine, and it's just Thea. And Thea runs into old Riley before his match there, and, you know, tries to come in there and say, hey, can we still be buds? And, of course, he says, cool, all good, or he says it with a British accent. And he hears his music. He goes and ramples off there, and then you've got Duke Hudson and Valtteri Chase. I don't know why I'm sitting there. I've got two replays up going. I've got one trying to be, as I'm talking, in 5 minutes behind, so I can kind of catch everything and not have to look at my notes, so I can see live and comment on it. But I haven't quite got it down yet. But Tony D had it down in this Dragunov promo, and he did real good. He did real good. They're setting this match up for Stand and Deliver, of course, next week. He has arranged for Stax to have a match. So he's pretty much saying, oh, what kind of shape you going to be in when you get to Stand and Deliver?
There we go with that one.
We'll see how that goes. Let's see there. Then we're going to go to the match. Let me see. Was it there? Yeah, but they have a little spot to where Thea runs in and wants a match, of course. And Duke comes in there with her. And when she gets through talking, the great, the almighty, the all-knowing Ava blesses us with her knowledge. And she says she's been watching old Duke. And that she's got a match for him next week. And she gave Thea the match. And then, yeah, I got a match for you too, okay? And you could end up in the title picture for, and he says something like, the MVP for his, I don't know, he made a quiver little comment there. He's good with the stick himself. I could see more time on it. They could do a good storyline with Duke. He's a big old guy, you know, so. And pretty good in the ring. So, you know, as long as he quits doing some of these copies, direct copies of some of the other wrestlers, you know. But anyway, we go over to Riley Osborne. And, somebody, we don't know who, but somebody from the No Quarter Catch crew. And it's for the Heritage Cup. That great Heritage Cup. But, you know, they have the rounds and they got all that stuff that goes along with it there. Well, Drew Gulak ends up being the person in this match. And, you know, he comes out, he talks his smack, and they do their thing. And when they do their thing, it's the end of round one. Riley Osborne, 1-0. Well, the next thing you know, they doing that thing. Second round, Drew Gulak. I mean, I could sit here and try to go through and tell you this and tell you that, but no, I can go back and watch this match. Not bad. Not bad at all. And so in the third round, or fourth round, I believe, they go one round and nobody gets a pin there. And so in the fourth round there, there's controversy because now JC Jane and Jasmine have showed up. So we got a crowd. We got people. All kind of people outside. So Thea goes after Jazzy Jane, and she goes into the ring, out of the ring. Thea goes under the ring. They catch her. While she's trying to get to JC, she distracts Duke and Andre Chis. And Jasmine runs over and grabs a hold of Riley's ankle when he's getting ready to suplex Drew off of it, which causes Drew to be able to counter, which means Drew gets the pin. So, wow. A little controversy in that one, too. So, not a bad little match, though. Definitely worth going back and checking it out. Definitely for show, faux show. Let me see. From there, you got Jensen. And Fallon outside, out in the parking lot. And, Jensen's upset. Fallon's saying, chill. But Jensen's saying, hey, look, I'm pretty much done. I got to go. I got to go. And he goes. And then Jordan comes up and says she's going to go in and whoop everybody. And Fallon reminds her how that went last week. And so they agree to go in and handle it themselves. Then you got a good match with Anderson and Gallows, the OC, the Good Brothers,
They're going against Hank and Tank. So you can't go wrong with Hank and Tank. But actually, Hank and Tank looked pretty good in this match. And, you know, the OC, you know, let them run with it for a while. Let them throw, you know. I was kind of surprised. The OC did not look as crisp in this match. And now these are some big old guys they're going against. So I'm guessing, you know, they're selling big guys, big punches. You know, we'll see how that goes. But Anderson did what he could, but they kind of whooped on Anderson in this match a little bit, you know. But he did get his stomps in, you know. He did that. Yeah, it's kind of interesting the way they played this. They let the big boys have some big highlights, and, of course, they have to holler after every big move they do and do the stomp and the Ultimate Warrior and the scream. So they've got to dial that back a little bit. But the match was surprisingly, I'm watching the younger talent, and that's Hank and Tank, in this particular match. And the OC, you know, made them look good. You know, they went down to the OC, but they did it with a gallant effort. Not so bad. Not so bad at all. So that's, like I said, OC gets that move, or gets that win. They did have a little spot earlier with Carmen Petrovic and Lola Vice, and they had them both in a gym, and Carmen was tearing it up, you know, doing like a walking karate, you know, straightforward, very good move, and a very they said she's got a black belt, and the move that she made in there, I could see it. But then they have Lola Vice, and she hits the stationary bag, or the stand up bag, stationary body bag, and she tears it up, man. Look, somebody's going to grab her one day in a parking lot. She's going to whoop that. Well, she's probably already done it, but good little spot. You know, it's those little Instagram or Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. They're little breakaways. And, that's what it was. Exclusive from Instagram. It was one of those little spots. But it was good. But then we get to the end, folks. And, you had Metaphor. Or Noam calling out Trick.
Whoop that Trick.
Well, I gotta say, in this match, you can definitely tell that Noam is a better wrestler, tactician, ground and pound. But Trick just hasn't done it long enough. Because Trick's very good on his stand, on his feet. His drop kicks are freaking, man. He put it right on Noam, but, you know, I was almost scared after seeing that one. If he did it again, he might miss his head and over jump Noam. But Trick looked good, and he sold really good. And Noam is got some experience, and he did really good. He did what he's supposed to do. He climbed the tree, and he brought the tree down to the ground. And once you get a big man on the ground, he's the same size as, well, not me, but people, shorter people. And so, yeah, so he did really good. I thought he sold good himself. They played the lash angle to where she was going to slap. And, you know, I don't want to give it all away, because this is pretty good to go back and watch the ending of the show here. Watch the match and watch the ending of the show. Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. So in the end, Noam gives it up, and Trick wins the match with a very good Trick shot, but it's a flying knee, man. But in this particular thing, in this particular match, in this particular instance, that move looked good. Go back and check this match out. Looked really good, and then but in the middle of the match, they pan over to Mello's locker room, and it's his security going, knocks on it and goes, "Boss, time to go," or something, "Time to go, Mello," or whatever it was. And you don't see him. And then after the match, Trick gets the stick, and he calls out, he calls out Mello. And Mello, of course, the security comes out first, and they all surround the ring. Then his music hits, and Trick's like, "Man, forget them security. Come on!" And he's looking down the ramp, but not to his knowledge, of course, but from nowhere, Mello shows up. He's one of the security guards. Who'd have thunk it? But he jumps out. He's got the big old vest like Seth and Reigns and all them used to wear. Got the tactical vest, and he jumps on Trick, and he whoops that Trick. He does whoop him, but there's three security guards along with that. So good little ending, you know. Not a great, but a good little ending, you know. But the match, then last match was good, and then, you know, the soap opera at the end is good too. So, let's go back and watch this, guys. Go back and check it out. And I really appreciate you taking the time just to listen to me explain a little bit. So, if you got the time, half of it's worth good. Go about to, kind of hop through it, but you'll be fine. But anyway it goes, I guess we'll end it before I screw this up some more. So this is Memphis Mark, and of course, help them rescues if you can. Do whatever you can to help a rescue out or a shelter out, whatever you can. And other than that, spay and neuter, folks. And well, guys, this is Memphis Mark, and you know what? I'm out.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.